This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
All right, let's get rolling here. We got a lot to do, and it has been a crazy 24 hours of sports, maybe 48 hours if you're counting Chris Ronzi's Chicago Bears with a tremendous win on Saturday night and the Illinois State Redbirds on Saturday night, beating up on Villanova.
Let's go Valley.
Yeah. Look what I'm wearing today if you're looking on the
stream. Yeah, your Missouri Valley Conference shirt. There you go.
Let's deal with this microphone. What's going on in here?
Buddy, you all right?
I'm fine. The microphone itself, look at it. It's fallen.
What is it? What's the old Sports Center thing? A good craftsman never blames his tools?
Something like that. Yeah, all right. I guess I'll arrange it like this. Hi, everybody. You know what? Your Chicago Bears. I want to start with that, though, and just say I'm so happy for you. And I saw some people say, this made me feel old, that it was the best Bears moment of their life.
Well, let me just say this. It's other than a playoff win, and the last time they had one of those was 2006.
Yeah.
Other than a playoff win, it's got to be their best win. It's definitely one of the best wins they've ever had. Because it's against a team that they have not been able to beat for like 10 years.
7-30 against 15. The Packers.
Yeah, it's been really bad against the Packers lately. They can't beat them. They're now on the way up, it seems like, as a franchise. They got a new coach, the right guy. Quarterback, I think, is the right guy now. And beating a team that they just cannot get past at home for playoff position, which then ultimately helped clinch them a playoff spot with the Lions losing last night. So it's just it turned into a really great win, a lot of fun, and let's freaking go, man.
It's awesome.
And go Redbirds. Going to play for a national championship.
They're playing for national championship against Montana State after beating Villanova in Philadelphia. So Brock Spack, who we had on the show last week, wins on the road again. He just wants to play. I don't care where they play. So I like that. I love the whole thing. I like everything.
Let's go.
Now
you've got Alabama.
I do.
Indiana, Alabama.
I couldn't be happier about that.
I knew you wanted it.
I couldn't be happier about that. I want that so bad. But I have to wait. I have to wait till January 1st. I'm itching for some college football for my team. But it was a fun weekend. The NFL stole the show with the Bears-Packers game and the craziness yesterday. And now you've got the 49ers and Bears officially in after the Steelers beat the Lions. And you have Wilson Contreras traded to the Red Sox. That went down last night around that time as the Cardinals received three pitchers. Hunter Dobbins, who actually started against them in what you would know, folks, as the Miles Michaelis game, when Michaelis got blown up in Boston, 11 hits and 2 2/3, gave up 9 runs. He is no longer part of this rotation. And Dobbins, who started against him and won that game, pitching 5 solid innings, is in the rotation. And the Cardinals get an outstanding haul, I think, for Contreras. Now, we'll find out. I shouldn't say outstanding. A good haul for Contreras. We'll find out later. But based on what I've been watching here of Blake Ida and Yoiker Fajardo, two young pitchers in the minor league system for the Red Sox, I think they did pretty well here. Three solid right-handers who can give you an opportunity to break through. Certainly Dobbins goes right into the rotation and the other two have a shot. And this is all you want right now, is just to pile up pitching as much as possible. I think the Cardinals and Red Sox actually did really well here because Contreras is going to contribute immediately to their World Series aspirations.
I think the deal here is it signifies a couple of different things. And, you know, we've talked about Contreras and his contributions and how I don't think he got the shine that he deserved for what he did while he was here. And a big part of that was the team wasn't particularly good. So he came here with the idea that he was going to be on a winner, a team that was actually competitive. And they had moments where they were competitive stretches, but it wasn't, you know, a playoff-bound team. And that's what he came here for. So he, I think, did everything the Cardinals asked him to do. You know, they asked him to switch positions. They asked him to alter the way he called games. They wanted him to do all these things, and unless there's something I'm missing, he did all of that stuff. He did what they wanted him to do, and he did not complain about it. He was the consummate teammate, right? So I appreciate what Wilson Contreras gave. It's unfortunate that it comes to an end and he wasn't on a winning team, because he has been before a big part of a winning team. It would have been nice to see him do that here, and it just didn't happen. So it signifies the end of this era of Cardinals baseball, as we are entering a new one, and there's a transitional period here, but now it's real to me. I mean, trading Sonny Gray and then now trading Contreras, and then it becomes real if they can move on from Arenado. But I have confidence in the direction of the organization. Maybe it's flat out optimism, maybe it's change for the sake of change, whatever it is, but I think that Chaim Bloom has a good plan.
I do too. I think that they have the right people in place to develop these pitchers to be great, and that's what you have to look towards, is the potential of the two young pitchers, and Dobbins too, to try to develop what he can be. Now, he did hurt his knee covering first base on a play in July. He did have some elbow issues before that. So he had a partial season, but in 11 starts, he went 4-1 with a 4.13 ERA in 13 games total. That works. Fajardo, and we'll talk to Rob Bradford about this. We're getting a lot of comments, both positive and negative. Fajardo's the real headliner, says Brian Smith. And then, of course, you get stuff like this, where this is Mr. Negative here always, GWC Junior.
Oh, watching on YouTube,
Says Red Sox media are saying Bloom got played big time. All right, well, we'll find out, because Rob Bradford of WEEI is going to join us at 12:45. He is Red Sox media, and will tell us what this trade is all about, who the Cardinals received in Dobbins, Fajardo, and Ida from his perspective. So how about that, GWC Junior 07? We'll see what we have to say about that. We had the Billikens winning yesterday, barely, 93-79 over New Hampshire. We'll talk to Bob Ramsey about it. Bragging rights tonight, Mizzou and Illinois. Illinois is a 9-point favorite at Enterprise Center in that marquee matchup. Here's how Mizzou wins. Slow the game down and play defense. Use your size to your advantage and get physical with Illinois, because they are explosive and they want to run, and they will blow you out if you let them run up and down the floor. And Missouri's got to bear down defensively and play a physical game, obviously knock down shots. Mizzou hired Chip Lindsey as offensive coordinator, so the Michigan OC comes over to Mizzou. Good one there. A play caller, who is experience. Been around a long, long time, and that's exactly what Eli Drinkwitz wanted out of that hire. All of that on top of it, the Blues won over the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers 6-2, and they play tonight at Tampa Bay. We'll talk to Amy Mark Scores about it next on the Gas House Gang. Then Bob Ramsey, then Rob Bradford. We talk football, we talk baseball, basketball, hockey, all of it. I mean all of it on this show right here. We're going to cram everything in. If you want us, if you think we're missing something, well, by golly, put it down in the comments. We're on YouTube, we're on X, we're on Facebook, and we want to hear from you. And you know what? We love you. Happy holidays. Chris Ranji.
Do we love everybody?
You know what? We do love everybody.
Even GWC.
I love GWC.
075.
Because GWC gets on his keyboard, whether it's his phone or his laptop,
and he's giving his attention to us.
He says,
"What a guy.
I want to be here with you guys."
That's right.
Aaron Dodson, you know what he said?
Aaron Dodson said,
"Every single show, that's my lunch break. Yeah. I'm on it." When you guys stop talking baseball, I'm gone. But he's just being honest.
Yeah.
I love Aaron.
And I want to congratulate the radio station, the great Camo Wax, on 100 years strong as the voice of St. Louis.
Why, thank you very much, Joe Buck. It's great to hear from you. And we love all of our KMOXers going back through the years. We're going to replay that entire tribute, all of our talent that came in and out of the station that day on November 20th. Christmas Eve, we will go 8-6, just wall-to-wall 100th anniversary. Can't wait. It's awesome. With Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Our producers, Matt Pajeski, Frank Ladd, and hello, Amy. Mark Scores walking into the studio to talk some Blues hockey. What's going on?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. After all that great stuff that happened over the weekend, football and baseball and, well, you could call it great if you want. I think some movement is what people wanted from the baseball standpoint. Basketball as well. Here come the St. Louis Blues dropping half a dozen on the Florida Panthers. I mean, that's a nice little wake-up call. And by the way, the Wednesday win over Winnipeg was one of the best of the year, 1-0. And I thought the game against the Rangers, even though they lost, it was a good effort, especially by Jordan Binnington.
Yeah, no, the goaltending is slowly but surely coming back around, as we knew it would. For all the questions you have about the roster, you know what Jordan Binnington is. I'm not worried about Jordan Binnington. I know it's been a rough start. I'm still not worried. And Joel Hofer has really looked good, not just in the net, but, man, the way he plays the puck, it changes the way the team can play with when they're coming out of the defensive zone.
Let me get to that right away. I think it's trendy to say goalie controversy. I don't think that they have that here, but I do think that the Blues are very interested to see if he had to, can Joel Hofer carry the load? And so that's why they went back-to-back and put him in there against Winnipeg on that Wednesday, and he did do that. So if they had to go to Hofer for whatever reason, can he do it? I think the answer is it looks like he can.
It does. And going into this season, we knew that the goalie tandem, the workload was going to be shared more than it was in previous years. Now, was that accelerated by Jordan Binnington's struggles? Probably, maybe. And we can see what Joel Hofer can do. As you said, yes, he can carry the team. But we also knew he would be seeing more time than he's seen in previous years. So the goaltending's coming around. The Blues have a chance with tonight's game to be at 500 for the Christmas break. And that would be, I think there's no such thing as moral victories. It's probably just maybe my own moral victory. I think it looks good to see the team at 500 for as much as they've struggled this whole season. I do think it's a better jumping off point. If you're going to be above five, or if you're going to be at 500 or below, you know which one you're picking. You want to be at 500. I think it is a jumping off point. I think at this point, when you've struggled grasping at straws, that's a straw that you want to grasp at to know that you've reached that point. I've really liked the two pickups in Jonathan Berggren and Otto Stenberg. Otto Stenberg being called up from the AHL and Berggren being claimed off of waivers. I think it's telling of two things. When you have Berggren, a waiver pickup, on your top line, one, he's playing well, and two, you've had some struggles in your lineup if a waiver wire guy is placed on your top line. So you can look at it at two ways. It's indicative that things haven't been going well.
They haven't been going well, but also, while it's not been going well, they're not that far out of a playoff spot right now, which is kind of nuts because it feels like they've just been miserable.
Yeah.
And here they are, only 3 points out of a wild card. Now, I know we're way, way, way too early to be talking about playoffs, but just to give you a measure of where they are relative to the rest of the conference, could be worse.
Yeah, no, it absolutely could. The big conversation around the Blues still being in the conversation with playoffs is the mushy middle. The NHL has a big mushy middle this year.
Yeah.
People can call it parity. People can say it's a lack of quality. I mean, there's been some controversy around this mushy middle because you do have teams like the Colorado Avalanche, who ran away with it from the beginning, then the Dallas Stars, now the Minnesota Wild are really starting to separate themselves. But if you've got the mushy middle, you may as well give yourself hope for hanging on to that wild card spot. But you are seeing that in this year's NHL, I think more than previous years. Chris Kerber and I have talked about why the points matter now. Once you get to the Olympic break, that's when you're going to feel the condensed schedule. That's when you're going to feel the workload. You're going to have tired legs. You're going to have tired goaltenders. Why you're going to want to share the time between in the net for the goaltenders. Because I don't think we've really felt that condensed schedule. It feels like it. But when you compare this year's schedule up into up until Thanksgiving. You compare it with previous years, it's not off. It's about the same amount of games and the same amount of days. So that push really comes after the Olympic break.
I agree with you on Stenberg and Berggren. In fact, Stenberg and Dvorsky, these young guys, you know, who don't know any better, they're just out there playing NHL, man. They're just getting after it. They haven't been through the battles yet, but they're just having a good time. I love seeing it, and I look forward to seeing more younger players develop within the Blues. My question is, at what point, not now, but at what point do they realize, or when would they say, you know, it's time to sell some of these guys and let's grab some more people and let's get ready for next year? Like, at what point do you look at the team and say, is this team capable of making a run if we slip into the playoffs? When do Doug Armstrong and Alex Steen start to do that? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think it's for a while. I think you let this thing ride for a while. I'm kind of with you on this. If they get to 500 and you start to get some healthy people back, you could have a little fun with it for a while.
I think you could. And the Blues are where they are right now because of the run they had at the end of last season after the Four Nations break and then the series against Winnipeg, you know, the best team in the NHL, taking them to 7 games, nearly pulling it off. It felt like, oh my gosh, the Blues are competitive. That transition time is over. The Blues are back. Maybe that was they were playing above their actual level for a while. That gave, you know, the whole city really maybe a little bit more of a positive or optimistic view of what this roster really is.
Like false hope sort
of
thing.
And they kind of settled back down. I think if the Blues don't go on that run, I don't think you sign Cam Fowler to a 4-year extension. You know, and so the Blues kind of are what they are right now as well because guys like Jordan Kyrou, Braden Schenn, Robert Thomas all have full no trade clauses. So one of those guys would have to want to leave, I think, in order for that core to change. So I'm excited about the young guys too. Dvorsky, his offensive upside is massive right now. You've seen some mistakes, which are going to come, some growing pains. You've seen a time or two where it's a missed clearing opportunity or adjust a play that leads to a turnover and is a bit of a liability, but that's going to happen with young guys. I'm excited to get Jimmy Snuggerud back. You know, at the beginning of the season, Doug Armstrong had said this team doesn't have a number one star like a Nathan MacKinnon or a Leon Draisaitl or a Connor McDavid. Got a lot of talented guys, you know, that would be complimentary on that top line, great second line guys, but they don't have that superstar. I asked Chris Kerber about that. And he said if they want to be competitive and they don't have that guy, they have to get that guy. So you're not going to be competitive without that superstar. So right now, no, the Blues don't have that. Could Jimmy Snuggerud be a superstar? Well, I don't think he's going to be a Connor McDavid necessarily, but I do think we aren't quite sure how high his ceiling is right now. I think he could be a big star. But the Blues, I think, for them to truly come out of that transition phase might need that big star.
Just for the rest of this season alone, what is their biggest challenge? Is it that? Is the fact they don't have the star power? Is it the schedule that will get more difficult? What is it?
That's a good question. A lot of guys, your core, not having great years, really, really slow starts. Like I said, starting to be rectified a little bit with the goaltending, but even your goaltending having a slow start. Right now, a lot of injuries. Granted, they were bad before the injuries. And then young guys who are trying to get their sea legs at the NHL level. And I think when you combine those at this level of hockey, the speed of this game, you're going to lose a lot of games when those areas aren't connecting.
Well, we appreciate it. And by the way, someone's got to start scoring some goals here.
I know.
You know, your leader in goals is Jake Neighbors, and he's played a dozen fewer games than the rest of the crew.
And
you
after
know,
that, I think it's Justin Falk.
It's Justin Falk.
It's a defenseman,
and Colton
so.
Parayko. I love Colton Parayko, but he has zero. Like, let's go. I mean, we got to start getting some goals here. Dvorsky's got 5 already. And that's as many as Buchnevich has. I mean, hello, let's go.
It's funny, so, you got, you know, we're talking about this and how difficult it is to get the scoring, and then you've got Garland, who's watching us on YouTube, says, who points out Nathan MacKinnon already has 30.
Well, that guy's on another planet.
I mean, dude.
Because he's outscoring the team.
I mean, if you want to, you know, you're not going to find a MacKinnon unless you tank the whole season and then get the number one or two pick and go get some superstar in the draft. I mean, you don't have that franchise guy. The next superstar goal scorer doesn't exist. Unless, you know, this Carboneau is interesting. He is a pure goal scorer that they have right now kind of waiting. He's playing juniors up in Canada, but he's the real deal.
He'll be, fun to watch him. And like you said, you either grow your own superstars or you do like Minnesota is doing, and Bill Guerin, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, just leaning all in with that massive deal, the largest ever in the NHL, to Kirill Kaprizov, and then signing Quinn Hughes, perhaps the second best or best defenseman on the planet next to Cale Makar.
Always fun talking hockey with you. You're on Wednesday's Matrix Midwest with Chris Kerber.
That's right, although...
Not this time.
Christmas Eve will be on KMOV Channel 4.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
How about that?
Moving on up.
That's what everybody's at home watching.
Are you going up against like Charlie Brown Christmas or what?
That's rude.
No, I'm just, it's not rude. I'm just asking.
I love Amy.
It's Christmas Eve.
I love Curbs, but I'm telling you something. Charlie Brown going to whoop their ass in the ratings. Charlie Brown Christmas, you have no chance against it.
It's just Curbs and I dancing around a piano.
You can do this. Oh. You can do this. You need a win tonight against the Lightning.
We do.
And you can get this. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
Thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Up against Marcus. Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown Christmas?
Charlie Brown's a freaking ratings monster.
What are you talking about?
I mean, it's a monster. It really is.
It's like watching the Indiana Hoosiers play, I don't know, Parkway Central.
It's the Super Bowl of cartoons. Yeah. So.
We will come back. Bob Ramsey. It is, actually. Bob Ramsey is going to join us next to talk some Billiken basketball. Don't worry, Mizzou fans. We're getting into the bragging rights as well. We'll break that down a little bit more. And with Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. Ranj has your weather next. Hey, that's the sound of the band at St. Louis University. Just a phenomenal season so far for SLU. They are 11-1,
baby.
And the voice of the Billikens is Bob Ramsey joining us now. Although, Rammer, great to have you on the show. That game was a little shaky yesterday against New Hampshire. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, Coach Schertz was not happy with the performance. The New Hampshire came out with more intensity than the Billikens did. And I think it showed. They kept it close. And it really kind of took sort of Robbie Avila to be the closer and come in and sort of gain control in the last 5 minutes of the game. And if you really want to get down to it, the last 2 minutes of the game. So it was that close all the way to the end.
But here's the thing about that. Even good teams will have games like that. It's a matter of whether or not they actually find a way to pull away when it's not going as well as it should be.
That's the perfect answer. You're 100% correct. Good teams can play bad and find a way to win against a team that's given you everything they have, and tip of the cap to New Hampshire for doing that. In fact, they played fast, a lot like the Billikens like to do. And, again, you got to give them all the credit in the world. And the Billikens, you know, finally kind of cleaned up their act a little bit. And finish strong, making free throws at the end where they didn't the first three-fourths of the game. And young Brady Dunlap, the sophomore transfer from St. John's, had his season high, 18 points, and really played well. And he came up big for the Bills yesterday.
They didn't fall too far in the net. They're 25th in the net as of this morning, a spot higher than Tennessee, two spots higher than John Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks, three spots higher than Rick Pitino's St. John's Red Storm. Now, here's the problem, is that once you start getting into the A-10 schedule and these teams play in the SEC, et cetera, they're going to have more chances to climb on you. You just got to keep on winning, right, Rammer?
You got to win the games. You can't have a hiccup. Yesterday would have been a disastrous loss. And, you know, you've heard me say it a couple of times this year. The win was good, but not as good as a loss would have been horrific. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a gut punch, and New Hampshire was close to giving it to you. So now you got a Division III opponent in a week, or next Sunday, before you play New Year's Eve basketball in the afternoon on Camel X, and I'll expect Dave Glover to give me a call and thank me on New Year's Eve. So you guys maybe pass that along. Anyway, so that's what's coming up, because on New Year's Eve at St. Joe's and you open up conference play, to your point, Tom, and now can you keep – I'm not going to say you're going to go through the league with only one loss, but can you keep a gaudy record going to keep the resume and all the rankings very, very high?
Yeah, what does it do for a team? And, you know, I went to Illinois State, so I'm a fan of a mid-major team, right? And right. So it's the kind of thing where when we are close to being ranked or they break into the top 25, for the fan base watching, that's a pretty big deal. Does it feel the same way where players are looking at that sort of thing and just seeing how they stack up against everybody else in the AP poll, coaches poll? Right now in the coaches poll, I think SLU's around 31, 32. So they're just out, but they are getting votes. How much does that matter to players?
Yeah, and, you know, Ken Pom is in 40. And I think we in the media and hardcore fans look at all the rankings. I think Ken Pom, we slipped to 40. So somewhere between the mid-20s and 40 is kind of where – the Billikens fall as of today. I think the players just enjoy the winning and the challenges, those big games, the challenges there. You know, I think you can see that. You take a look at somebody who has been electric like Deion Brown, and he's a veteran player. He's been on a couple of different organizations, a couple of different schools, and he's never been on a winner. This is his last shot to be on a winner. So is it? I don't want to speak for every player, but I know they recognize that they're being highly regarded. But the important thing is winning. And for a couple of those guys who've never played their own conference tournament in March, getting deep into March is really, really important to them. So anything that leads there matters.
Last thing, Rammer, and that is the crowds at Chaffetz Arena. We're looking forward to what Chris May told me he thinks will be a good crowd on New Year's Eve. I'll be there. You'll be there, Rammer. I hope that everybody jumps on here. I mean, I can sit here and talk about how phenomenal this team is and how entertaining they are for your dollar, but you're just going to have to keep on winning as that train continues to add passengers. I think that's the only way you can describe it.
Well, the three of us are sports advocates, so we get it. And we follow it from even before day one, during practice. It doesn't matter if we're talking Cardinals, Blues, Billikens, whoever, St. Louis SC, it doesn't, Mizzou, it doesn't matter. We're there from the very beginning and into the minutia. We gotta realize we really are from the show-me state. And I think fans, and I would tell you in particular St. Louis University fans, hey, you got to show me first. Now, for the fans that are there already, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 fans, the crowd yesterday was really, really good. Didn't fill up the place, but they were engaged. To go from good crowds to great crowds, I think the show me factor comes in. Now, historically, and I can't give you exact numbers, but historically, crowds, believe it or not, pick up during the holidays. Even when the students are out, the crowds pick up during the holidays. And so I think Chris May is looking at historically expecting the big crowd start to flood in when you're good and the holidays roll around.
Bob Ramsey, we always appreciate you. Thank you. As always, great call yesterday. And your reports are sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri.
Well, and Merry Christmas to you guys and all of our KMOX listeners. And a reminder that since 1964, Royal Banks of Missouri has been a proud local community bank. And they still feel that way, even with 16 locations, St. Louis and Charles, Illinois, Northeast Missouri. Everybody on the team dedicated to supporting you in your financial journey. Call 314-212-1500, or of course, online at royalbanksofmo.com. Royal Banks, member FDIC. an equal housing lender.
Merry Christmas to Bob Ramsey and his family and to the Billiken family. We appreciate you very much. While we have a few minutes before we get to Rob Bradford, there's a basketball game tonight. We talked about it at the start of the show, Mizzou and Illinois. I happen to think that SLU is better than Missouri, and I think that they have proven so far that they are a more entertaining brand of basketball than Missouri. But if I'm Missouri, I'm walking into this game saying we have to win this tonight against Illinois. I don't want to hear any negativity inside that locker room, outside of it. Don't listen to anybody who tells you that 18th-ranked Illinois is going to put a whooping on you. They're 9-point underdogs. I think that's probably appropriate. Illinois is a better team on paper. But if you're Missouri, maybe I should give them a little pep talk here. If you're Mizzou, you have to go into this thing and say this is our night. We have to win this game tonight. And the reason why is they don't have good non-conference wins, Chris. I mean, if you look at their schedule, they played a pretty easy schedule in November. Piece of cake. The win over Minnesota is great and all, but that's not going to help you come March. Don't rely on the SEC just to push you into the NCAA tournament. You need to have a good conference record, but you need non-conference wins, and they don't have them. At Notre Dame lost. At Kansas in Kansas City got blown out. This is your chance for a top 100 win, and better than that, a very good quad one win over Illinois. If you want to have a nice push into the postseason, you need this one here today.
Well, this is a tough one. You know, Illinois in the top 20, but this game tends to have a way, and maybe it's because it's in a, I don't want to call it an impartial venue, but it's pretty center. It's pretty center between Champaign and Columbia, so you got a great mix of the crowd, where you've got half Illini, half Missouri fans. It always has a way of evening out this one. And it feels to me, and not having gone back and looked, doesn't it kind of feel like even in these teams or in these years where the teams are maybe not necessarily evenly matched, one's better than the other, one is clearly better than the other one, at least up until now, that the underdog always has a really good chance of winning this game. And oftentimes does. You know, it's not like a, I don't know what it is about this particular game in this venue, but it is always even, and I will look at it as a toss-up.
I've only missed a handful of them in my life, and this game is a momentum game. The crowd gets on your side. Illinois has loud fans that come in. They usually outnumber the Mizzou fans, but if Mizzou goes on a run and their side starts to get wound up, it can be a lot of fun for that Missouri side. I'll explain why I think this is a huge one for Illinois as well. They also, while they're non-conference, they've already proven that they can play with anybody, but they lost to Bama, they lost to UConn, they beat Texas Tech, which was a great win for them, but you know they're going to be hungry here too and motivated. They beat Tennessee, they beat Ohio State, and then, unfortunately for Missouri, they lost a home game to Nebraska, and they've had to sit on that for 9 days. They lost that game back on December 13th. And Nebraska's good. They're undefeated. I mean, they've had a phenomenal year. They really have. But they've had to sit on that 83-80 loss for 9 days. And I have a feeling that Brad Underwood's going to have them playing out of their minds tonight. So if you're Missouri, if you want to win this game, you got to slow it down. Be physical. Do not get into a track meet with this team. They will run you off the floor. They've got to play physical, defensive, and obviously, if they get open shots, they got to make them. And I will harp on this a million times. Missouri's got to play better defense if they want to have a chance in this game.
And I'll tell you something, Tom. I have no rooting interest in either of these teams. Did not grow up a fan of either one. But this game is a ton of fun. Used to go for a... several years in a row, I went. Always had a great time at Bragg and Wright. So enjoy this one tonight.
I have so many great memories. Think of my dad all the time when I go to this game, and took my daughters to the game through the years. It's very, very special.
Now back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
The pitch by Gray, and that stroke down the right field line, and on the run, Contreras, he slides and makes the catch in foul ground.
Turned into a very good first baseman, didn't he? With Chris Ronji, I'm Tom Ackerman on the Gas House Gang. J.P. Morosi, John Morosi, earlier today reported that Jared Schuster has agreed to a minor league contract with the Cardinals, left-handed pitcher. We'll see how he looks, former Atlanta Brave. Joining us right now, here he is again, our Boston Bureau. It's Rob Bradford, WEEI, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. And we lean on you for these trades, man. Chaim Bloom does it again with the Red Sox. Three pitchers for Wilson Contreras.
I think that the last line that I said to you guys last time I was on was, I'll talk to you when Wilson Contreras gets traded.
And here he is. What do you
think? Let it be said, let it be done. Yeah.
Real quick, do you guys need Arenado too? Or?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, they tried to get him last year a little bit, so yeah. Why not?
Can I interest you in a JoJo Romero or a Brendan Donovan, whatever you need?
We'll talk next week.
Hunter Dobbins, he started that game against the Cardinals, that Miles Michaelis blow-up game, and I thought looked pretty good. What do you think of Dobbins?
I like Dobbins. You know, he's a guy, he's not going to get a ton of swing and miss, but I think that what Hunter Dobbins did last year was define himself, number one, as a legitimate major league starter. I know that some people said, oh, he's a swingman. No. To me, he showed that he was a legitimate major league starter. And also, despite his sort of OPS-esque appearance, now I'm dating myself, you know, Andy Griffith show, but still, this guy is a bulldog, man. Like, if you wanted to know about how fearless this guy is, go back to the controversy with him and the Yankees, where this big blow up about his dad saying that he pitched in the Yankees organization and the Yankees writers finding out that he didn't. But Hunter Dobbins just sat there and answered all the questions, said, hey, listen, you know, like I'm not in the business of fact checking my dad, which I thought was a great line. And then on top of it, he goes out and absolutely shoves against the Yankees. So he's not afraid of being in the major leagues. He knows he belongs in the major leagues. Now, is his stuff going to play up where you're going to be like, oh my goodness, it's off the charts? Probably not. But much like Richard Fitz, he is a legitimate major league starter to me.
So what do people think, what do Red Sox fans, from their perspective, think of this deal? I know you can't speak for everybody, but what has been, as far as you can tell, the consensus, whether it's fans and media alike?
It's a tricky one, because I think that what Breslow did at the GM meetings in Vegas, when he said, we're going to get a number two starter and we're going to get a guy put in the middle of the order who's going to hit home runs, immediately everyone said, Joe Ryan and Pete Alonso. Boom, there it is. And obviously, you get Sonny Gray, and now you got Wilson Contreras. And Wilson Contreras, as you guys know, isn't necessarily the same skill set as Pete Alonso. He, as you also know, he's a good hitter. He checks off a lot of boxes on Baseball Savant. He's a pretty good fielder at first base. All of these things, he's a good player. They got better. But I think for the Red Sox fans, to answer your question, it's, all right, that's fine, but what's next? If you're not going to have the no doubt about it 50 home run guy, you still have to find home runs. And obviously for most, what's next is, are you actually going to get more uncomfortable than you did with Richard Fitz and Hunter Dobbins and go out and pay the money that you keep getting back from the Cardinals for a guy like Alex Bregman?
What about the two prospects, Fajardo and Ida? We'll never know right away, but we might know down the road. They look, at least on video, pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Brandon Clarke, the guy they got in the Sonny Gray trade. All these guys have potential. You can see why Chaim Bloom targeted these guys. And it's interesting, go back to when you talk about, well, what the Red Sox reaction. Some people are up in arms saying, well, you gave up Fajardo to get money back. Aren't you supposed to have all this money from the Devers trade? Why do you have to even give up a guy like that to get money back? And I don't get obsessed over that. I'm just like, hey, if you want the guy, if you want to target Wilson Contreras, do what you have to do to get him. In this case, it was to give up those two guys. Fajardo's a guy who they got from the White Sox organization, $400,000 signing bonus out of Venezuela, got him in the Cam Boozer, the big Cam Boozer trade. Who can't forget that? But big guy, you can see, as you said, you watch him like, okay, I can see how this 19-year-old can be good. As somebody I think I read today said, if he was in college, he would probably end up being a first-round pick. Cardinals fans should actually like that narrative. So I think with both these guys and the other guy, he's coming from the draft from a year ago, I think it was fifth round pick or sixth round pick. Fine. some potential. Both these guys could be absolute major leaguers. There's no doubt about it. And you can see what Heim Bloom's doing here. It's kind of along the lines of what the Red Sox were able to do, which is the Red Sox were able to build up a lot of these young pitchers, get them to the point where teams actually would want them, and then, boom, when you're ready to make your move, you make your move. I can see that same scenario with a lot of these guys are getting in these trades.
He's the host of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, WEEI in Boston. And when the Contreras trade went down last night, we had the whole show planned, but we texted each other and said, we got to call Bradford. So when Romero gets traded to the Red Sox, we'll give you a call, okay?
Yeah, I thought you guys were calling me because Joe Kelly came on the podcast and kind of retired.
I heard about that. I saw that on your Twitter account.
Yeah, he retired in the very Joe Kelly way, where I asked him, I said, hey, are you going to pitch again? And he's like, blank, no. I'm like, okay.
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds right.
All right, man. Thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, always good talking with you. Thanks.
How about this St. Louis-Boston connection we got going on?
It's amazing.
On? Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow with Bernie Miklas. We also have Anouk Kurunaratne of the Cardinals front office with us tomorrow.
Talk about this FanDuel thing?
Absolutely, the TV situation. That's all tomorrow on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.